FA founder, Brother Don Wildman, spent a large portion of his life fighting for the family. He recognized how society was changing, and not in a good way. Ideals and issues that once were forbidden or at least kept private were being accepted and even promoted as normal. There's a danger to playing with sin, and Brother Don illustrated it in one of his episodes of It's My Turn called The Danger of Playing Around. Read about it and listen to that episode when you visit afa.net/thestand.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I am Pastor Jeff and glad to be with you. I wanted to read to you yet again from Romans chapter 1. It seems like Romans chapter 1 is the chapter that we keep going to explain the insanity in our world. I think about that phrase from Susan Powder from years ago. It had to do with health and diet, but she talked about stop the insanity. And so we live in an upside down world where we call evil good and good evil. We substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, bitterness for sweet and sweet for bitter, as it says in Isaiah chapter 5. It is insane. And so this is what the Scripture says, Romans 1, beginning in verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." Have you noticed how people do that? How the mainstream media suppresses the truth. They spin the truth. They give you their version of the truth. They try and they're preaching a narrative. And so if the news doesn't fit the narrative, they're not going to share that, or they're going to twist it and turn it to fit their narrative. They suppress the unadulterated truth in unrighteousness. And then it goes on to say, "Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them." God has given every single person two voices that prove God is real. The voice of conscience, that's evident within them. God gives everyone a conscience. And the voice of creation, God lets everybody see. You walk outside, you see creation, and the natural response is, if there is a creation, there has to be a creator. Things don't just come into being. The Big Bang is a big joke. There is nothing like that. It says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." If you say there is no creator and you open your eyes and look at creation, well, you're a liar. You're without excuse, because everything within you says there has to be a creator. You just look at the watch that might be on your wrist. To think that just came into being by random chance is ridiculous. You know that there was a watchmaker, whether it's Fossil or Rolex or Timex or whatever. There was a watchmaker that made that watch. It didn't just come into being. The parts didn't just co-mingle together. So they are without excuse. "For even though they knew God," Romans 1:21, "for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools." Professing to be wise, the word for wise is sophos, which is translated to be skilled, to be expert, to be cultivated, to be an expert, to be cultivated, to be learned. And they profess that they are so wise, and God says, "You are such a fool." You are, the word for fool there in the Greek is moreno, from which we get our English word moron. And we see these people that seem to have a lot of the degrees after their names, and there's professors in the university and these big shots here, there, and yon. And they will tell us things that are so ridiculous, and they profess to be so enlightened and so wise. And God's opinion of them is, you're a moron. And as we look at them through the Word of God, we'd say, what you're espousing is insanity. It's moronic. Now, nothing is more insane and moronic than saying a biological male can be a female, or a biological female can be a male, or that gender and sex aren't inseparably linked. To make the case that, well, there is biological sex and there's gender and those two things are different. No, they're not. They're connected together. Well, I woke up this morning, and as I often do before the program, I'll go to Twitter, or X now. It's called X. Elon Musk changes it to X. And I'll go to X, and I'll look to see what's trending. And one of the first things that came up was United Airlines. Boycott United Airlines. It was a hashtag. Boycott United Airlines. And so I said, okay, what's going on with United Airlines? Now, I had been abreast of the fact that a few years ago, the CEO of United Airlines, Scott Kirby, he boasted about their airlines is so committed to diversity, equity, and inclusion. They want across the board, you know, we want 50% of our employees to be women or people of color. And he said, you know, only 19% of our pilots are women or people of color. We have too many white guys in there, and we need to get the numbers up for our diversity, equity, and inclusion. I don't know about you, but I know about me. I don't care what color the pilot is. I don't care what sex the pilot is. I want to make sure the pilot knows how to fly the plane. The pilot could be purple, and it doesn't matter to me if he's a good pilot, if she's a good pilot, if she can land and navigate the plane, take off, and all the things that they need to do in flight and then land safely. That's what's important. It is ridiculous to say, well, we're so focused on having pilots that are diverse. The public does not care about that. Well, Scott Kirby, the CEO, a video surfaced of him a few years ago. I think it was at a company event where he dresses up like a drag queen, and he's walking on his hands and knees doing some kind of show for his employees. It is sickening. To think that is our leader, that is the CEO of our company. Well, that is United Airlines. Well, I woke up and boycott United Airlines. Well, this was the video that was playing. It's from a mom. She's probably, I would say, late 20s, early 30s, something like that. She has a 16-month-old son. She was traveling with her mother, and she was traveling from San Francisco to Austin. Her name is Jenna Longoria, and she ran into some trouble and was kicked off the plane because she misgendered one of the stewardesses. Hear her story.
Okay, so we were denied boarding. Myself, my 16-month-old son, my mother, they took our luggage on the plane, which has my thyroid medication, which I'll be very sick without, my mother's medication. They basically said, tough luck. And they won't tell me exactly what I said, but what happened, and I will tell you what happened right now. I was speaking to one of the flight attendants, got their pronouns wrong. The other flight attendant didn't like it. I said, I'm really sorry. I'm not very versed with pronouns. I was holding my son. He was having a temper tantrum. I had the car seat on my back. I wasn't really focusing on anything except getting my son's car seat on the flight and getting him comfortable and safe, and him, because now it's his nap time. You can see he's kind of fallen asleep. They're saying that like it's a hate crime that I did, that I might not even be able to ever fly United. We don't even know how we're going to get back today. I don't know what to do. I really don't know what to do. I don't know what my rights are here. I think that it's...
So she was up in arms, didn't know what to do, and I'm kicked off the plane, and now how am I going to get home? And she was carrying around her young son, 16-month-old son, and she said, you know, he weighs 25 pounds. I've been carrying him this whole time trying to figure out what is going on. But evidently, from what she said, now we take that with, you know, this one side of the story, but it doesn't appear she's lying. With what she said, she got denied access to the United Airlines flight from San Francisco to Austin for the hate crime, quote unquote, of misgendering the stewardess. I'm assuming it's a guy dressed up like a girl wanting you to enter into his lunacy, his fantasy that I'm a she. And who knows what the pronouns are? You know, I mean, we just say, well, we, you know, my pronouns are Zen and Zim or whatever they people come up with. It's just crazy. Now, Jordan Peterson is the Canadian psychologist, author, media commentator. He is not a Christian, although he seems to be reading the Bible, and hopefully he's going to come to the place where he sees that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and he gives his heart and life to Jesus. But he has an understanding of the insanity that's taking place in Canada, taking place in America, and he has been very vocal about using pronouns, and he has made it clear, hey, people don't own pronouns. Pronouns go with your biological sex. And if you're an XY male, hey, guess what? Your pronouns are he and him. And you don't get to change those. And you don't get to push on the people, on the populace, that if you don't call me these pronouns that I've come up with, then that's a hate crime. This is what Jordan Peterson had to say. This was a number of years ago, talking about a law in Canada.
Well, one of the policies was that if you didn't use the preferred pronouns of a given group, that you could be charged essentially with a hate crime. And I thought, no,
that's given group is that? You're talking about transgender people.
Yeah, and yeah. So there's all these pronouns that have come up. There's 70 different sets of pronouns approximately to hypothetically describe people who don't fit anywhere on the gender spectrum, which is also something that I don't really understand. I don't understand that conceptually. Mm. Like,
yeah. We'll come to that, but yeah, I just want to hear point the story is, of this
well,
bill first.
Okay, so now I'm a person is compelled under Canadian law to use the pronoun of another individual's choice on pain of law. And I thought, well, no, that's not acceptable. It's one thing to put limits on what a person can't say, like say with hate speech laws, which I also don't agree with, by the way, but that's a different argument. I think it's a narrower argument. But to compel me to use a certain content when I'm formulating my thoughts or my actions under threat of legislative action, I thought, no, what's happened there is the government has introduced compelled speech legislation into the private sphere. It's never happened in the history of English common law. And so I said, there's no way I'm abiding by that. I don't care what your rationale is. We're compassionate. It's like, no, you're not. No, you're not. You're playing this radical collectivist left-wing game. You're trying to gain linguistic supremacy in the area of public discourse. You're doing that using compassion as a guise, and you're pulling the wool over people's eyes. And you're not going to do it with me.
That was Jordan Peterson, Dr. Jordan Peterson, speaking out about this insanity of pronouns, preferred pronouns. And I like how he says that you say it's under the guise of compassion. That's not compassion at all. That is saying, if we put it into terms that a lot of us can understand, that is telling the person that has anorexia, who anorexia, the disease that you keep dieting and dieting and exercising and exercising, and all you see is this fat person, and you can literally starve yourself to death. That is telling the anorexic, well, I agree with you. You do need to keep losing weight. When the person is skin and bones, you don't do that. If you care for that person, you tell that person the truth. You are killing yourself. You are destroying your life. You are not seeing the real picture here. And we used to call it gender dysphoria. People don't like to use that term anymore. It used to be included as a mental disorder, a mental illness. You think that you are a female. You feel like a female when your body is obviously male. Science tells you, hey, your chromosomes tell you what you are. You're XY, you're male. I don't care what you think. This is the real thing. And so it's just like with anorexia. I don't care what you see in the mirror. I don't care what you think. You are not fat. You are starving yourself to death. And if you keep down that path, you're going to kill yourself. That's true compassion. That's true love. Listen, love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we need to speak up for the truth, and we need to stand up for the truth. And as the song says, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. And if that means suffer hardship because of that, so be it. As Paul told Timothy, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and we're talking about the transgender pronoun insanity. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Well, the last spot was such a great lead-in to what we're talking about today. And so you heard from Romans 1 what happens when you reject God. You don't give Him honor. You don't give Him thanks. And one of the things to consider every time you have a quiet time, every time you come before the Lord, as you start your day and seek His face, give Him honor and give Him thanks. They did not honor Him as God or give Him thanks, but their foolish heart was darkened, and they were darkened in their speculations. And then it says that professing to be wise, they became fools, and God gave them over. And three times in Romans chapter 1, it says He gives them over. He gives them over to lustful passions, sexual immorality. Then He gives them over to degrading passions, unnatural passions, homosexuality. And then He gives them over, lastly, to a reprobate, depraved mind, a mind that doesn't function anymore, a mind that stands up and screams that men can become women and women become men. And as the Supreme Court Justice said, well, I can't define a woman, the term woman, because I'm not a biologist. It's just ridiculous. Well, here's what the scripture says in Isaiah chapter 5. This, we need to heed this. As the man said right before the return to our program, he said, hey, we need to warn people about judgment, because as it says in the end of Romans 1, even though these people know about the judgment of God, they not only do these terrible, horrible things, but they give hearty approval to those who do them also. And they encourage people in their sin. Well, this is what God says in Isaiah chapter 5, beginning in verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes in drinking wine and valiant men in mixing strong drink, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away the rights of the ones who are in the right. Therefore, as a tongue of fire consumes stubble, and dry grass collapses into the flame, so their root will become like rot, and their blossom blow away as dust. For they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. On this account, the anger of the Lord has burned against His people. Okay, so that's talking about the people of God, the Old Testament people of God, as we put it in context today, the New Testament people of God. If we don't stand up and call this out, the Lord's anger is going to burn against us. The Lord's anger burned against His people, as it says in Isaiah 5:25, and He has stretched out His hand against them and struck them down, and the mountains quaked, and their corpses lay like refuse in the middle of the streets. For all this, His anger is not spent, but His hand is still stretched out. God hates sin. When the Lord returns, He is called faithful and true. The devil is a liar and the father of lies, and the Lord, it's impossible for God to lie. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. And so as believers, we need to stand up and speak up about the evils going on around us, not to rant and rave, but here, to remember this. So when I speak from the pulpit, I am not talking to anyone individually. I'm talking to everyone collectively, and I speak the truth in love. And you can speak the truth very bluntly, very, not harshly, but very, very straightforwardly. And in the attitude that I have at the pulpit is, hey, this is thus says the Lord. If the shoe fits, wear it. And we are 2 Timothy chapter 4. Preach the word. Be ready in season or out of season. Paul told Timothy, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. So three things we do as preachers. We reprove, we rebuke. Those two things, people don't like to be reproved or rebuked, but we need to be reproved and rebuked. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Exhort is to encourage. Encouragement comes after there's reproof and rebuke. Because if we're going the wrong direction, we need to be told, hey, you're going the wrong way. You need to get your life centered back to true north, which is the word of God. So we're called to do that. And we're called to speak the truth in love. Now, when I'm talking one-on-one to people, you know, and let's say I'm talking to a person who comes to my office and says, you know, Pastor Jeff, I'm really struggling with, I think I'm supposed to be a man and I'm a woman. And I had a lady in my office some years ago that said that. And my attitude is, listen, I feel for you. And if you go down the road you're talking about going down, you will only find disaster because that's not how God made you. And you need to just honestly, soberly look in the mirror. You need to bring this issue to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm really struggling in my mind, but I want to walk in the truth, not in a lie. And for Christians, we need to, with children, with grandchildren, with nieces, nephews, with friends and neighbors, we need to lovingly tell them the truth. And we don't need to enter into their insanity and say, well, I'm just trying to show love. Love, real love, biblical love, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. It rejoices with the truth. So if you're going down a road of unrighteousness, and a road that is so contrary and foreign to God, where it's you're calling evil good and good evil, I can't support you in that. And the reason I can't support you is because I love you. And I'm not going to pat you on the back as you go down the road to your destruction. That is not love. That is sadism. That is awful. And so I stand there and say, listen, I love you. Don't do this because you all you're going to find there is destruction and devastation and ultimately death. And the devil wants to steal and kill and destroy, and you're going his way, and that's what you're going to find. And listen, for every Christian, we need to remember the story of the prodigal son, Luke chapter 16. Anytime you start to depart from the Father's house, from his will, his word, his ways, that road always leads to the same place. It leads to the pigsty. And you keep traveling that road, you're going to end up in devastation. You're going to end up with the pigs because that's just the way he has set up life. There is a way, Proverbs 16:25, Proverbs 14:12, same verse. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And so we go God's way. We don't go our way that may seem right to us, our way that is approved by the culture. Don't do that. And listen, as I've told you before, life hack, if the media is pushing it, if the culture is pushing it, if big pharma is pushing it, if big government is pushing it, just know that's wrong. That's wrong. The devil, I preached this last night, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. When you go God's way, God's general will for your life is to come to know Christ. He's not willing, 2 Peter 3:9, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's God's will for you, to come to Christ and to be saved. And it's God's will for you to walk in the light with him. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, to be set apart. That is that you abstain from sexual immorality. And then it says in Ephesians 5, this is God's general will for every Christian, Ephesians 5, that do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Well, what is the will of the Lord? Ephesians 5:18, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. So God's general will for every single person, you come to Christ, come to faith in Christ, be born again, and then be come out from among them and be separate and be holy as the Lord is holy and live your life filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now that's God's general will, God's specific will for your life, what he wants you to do, how he's wired you, where he wants you to work, the person he wants you to marry and things like that, and where he wants you to serve. Well, that's specific to you. That's specific to the way he's wired you, to the way he's gifted you, to the way he's worked in circumstances in your life. But let me tell you, the will of God for your life, Adrian Rogers said this, I love it, I've never forgotten it. The will of God for your life is what you would want for yourself if you had sense enough to want it. Because the will of God for your life, his specific will, is good and acceptable and perfect. It is well-pleasing. It is tailor-made for you. The God who made you, he made you like a puzzle piece. He has a place for you, and you're going to flourish in that place. And he wants all of us to experience the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And Jesus said in John chapter 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. And if you abide in me, guess what? You bear much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. And the Lord wants us to bear fruit. He said, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. So when you think of the fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, the Lord wants that to be all over your life, that the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Jesus would be all over your life. And what people would see, as it says in Acts chapter 4, when the Sanhedrin recognized the confidence of Peter and John, it says, then they recognized them as having been with Jesus. You know, if we're going to really be salt and light in this world, and we're not going to do it by ourselves. We're going to do it as we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We're going to do it only as we follow the instruction and the command in Romans 12. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. As we live every day surrendered to Jesus, and we say in our prayer to him, that little chorus, Jesus, be Jesus in me. No longer me, but the resurrection power. Fill me this hour. Jesus, be Jesus in me. As Paul said, Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. That's how we live our lives. And people will take notice. They'll recognize you have a power about your life. There's a sweet aroma about your life. Where does that come from? What doesn't come from us? It comes from him, and he gets all the glory. Now, will the world love that? No, the world will hate that. Jesus said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own, but because you're not of the world, but I have taken you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So we are a light shining in a dark place, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds are evil, John chapter 3. And so because of that, because we shine the light on their evil deeds, they don't like that. That's those who are committed to the world. But there are a number of people that will respond to the light. And as we live a genuine, authentic Christian life, as we really and truly walk in the light with Jesus and have fellowship with Jesus, that translates. And that's what we talk about on this program all the time. We talk about shine and share. Shine is the way you live. Share is what comes out of your mouth. And your life and your lips need to be in sync with one another in the light with Jesus, proclaiming to the world that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. Well, I'm going to go ahead and open the phone lines. I'd love to hear from you, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We've been talking about the transgender pronoun insanity. Romans chapter 1, verse 22, professing to be wise, they became fools. And we live in such an upside-down world. And as we get closer and closer to the return of Christ, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And the days of Noah were days of vice and days of violence and days of anarchy and days of apathy. And we are, if we're not in those days now, we're quickly approaching those days. We're living in an upside down world. And we as the salt and light, as Jesus called us to be salt and light, we need to stand up and speak up and suffer the consequences for doing it, because there will be consequences. And people, hey, I tell my church, I said, you may lose friends when you stand up and speak up. So be it. You may lose your job if you stand up and speak up. Now, they're not hiring you to be an evangelist, so you got to be careful with that. But when it comes to them pressuring you to do something that you say, no, this is wrong, I'm not going to do it. They may pressure you to on the pronoun issue. That's worth losing your job over. That's worth saying, forget it, I'm not doing that. I'm not entering into that that insanity, because God hasn't called me to jump on board with on the ship of insanity. And I'm gonna go by what is true and what is honorable and what is right. I'm going to go by what science says. Hey, you know, we're the party of science, you heard from the left all this time. We're the party of science. Baloney. Not if you believe in transgenderism. You're not the party of science, because science tells you you're either male or female. Scripture tells you God made us male or female. Common sense tells us we're either male or female. And what God has created, you can't change that. You can have surgery, you can put on a dress, you can do whatever you want, but you're still going to be XY male, and nothing you can do will change that. Well, give me a call when we come back from the break. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Love to talk to you. If you have a question or a comment, give me a call. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop. So we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We've been talking about the transgender pronoun insanity. We played the clip from Jenna Longoria, who was scheduled to fly out from San Francisco to Austin on United Airlines. She's a lady probably in her 30s. She had a 16-month-old son that she was carrying around, weighs 25 pounds, and her mother was there. But she got accused of a hate crime by United Airlines because she misgendered a stewardess, called them by the wrong pronoun. And they said that that is a hate crime. And as one account I read said, United may ban her for life. United doesn't have to worry about banning me for life because I would never fly on their airlines. It's just mind-blowing. It's just sickening. You know, I thought companies were in business to provide a service, and it's a win-win. You get a service, and they get it, and they make a profit. If you're pushing an agenda, and everything takes a backseat to the agenda, as it evidently does at United and their CEO, Scott Kirby, then good. More power to you. As the old saying says, go woke, go broke. Because people that want to live in the world of reality are going to say, "Stick it in your ear. We're not going to do business with you if that's the way you treat your customers." And that's the way it should be. Now, granted, I have not seen United respond yet on this, and so it's one side of the story. And as the saying goes, it's a thin pancake that only has one side. But given United's position, it sounds like they are fully entrenched and dug into this position of diversity, equity, and inclusion, pro-LGBTQIA+, the agenda for the Alphabet Mafia, and they're all in. So, hey, more power to you if you want to sink your company because you're going to hold on to this lunacy. That's your business. But our business is to say, hey, that you're not the only carrier around. I'll fly someone else. So we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And we have Julie on the line from Arkansas. Julie, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff. Good morning. How are you doing today, sir?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. I am blessed. The thing about the pronouns, I have a personal testimony that I share as a widow and raising, I was raising my daughters, and both me and my husband, we were born again Christian. We raised in church. We took the children to church. We had that youth group. They knew the Bible. But they were in public school setting. What shocked me was some years ago was my middle daughter, Carrie, was going to college, and she'd come home. And so, "Mom, I have something to share with you." And she was kind of nervous about it. So, "What's this?" And so it was all about pronouns. So I went, "What? What is that?" I had no clue. I was not prepared for the conversation at hand. And as I come alongside other ladies that go studying, you know, this whole ridiculous movement, as they'll go against the Bible and everything, and she wanted me to call her they. That's what the pronoun, one of the pronouns that they want to use. And so I told my son, I said, "Mom, you can't call Carrie your daughter. You just got to call her that." I said, "No, she's my daughter. I'm not going to call her that." As she was continuing her college studies, she's come home during break and said, Mom, pronouns, Mom, you can't call me." I said, "No, Carrie." I said, "I love you, Carrie, but I will not bow down to your pronouns." Mm-hmm. And we left it at that. She has just, I have no clue. She's been one of the brightest students in her graduate from high school, and she just finished college, and she's with my other daughter on the East Coast as of today. And as a Bible-believing Christian, mm-hmm. you know, when the pronoun they, where does it come from? It comes from the enemy. I am they, but we are many.
Yeah, it's that's heartbreaking to hear that, Julie. And, you know, we send our kids off to college not to be indoctrinated in leftist propaganda, and something, you know, college used to be a place where you'd go and learn. You know, it's inscribed on the main building at the University of Texas, John 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." And yet when they go that route, you're throwing truth out the window, and you're teaching lies, And it's just sickening. So, well, God bless you for sticking to your guns. And listen, we're not showing our kids love by agreeing with their insanity. We're showing them true love by saying we love you too much to enter into this insanity. This is who you are, not what you think, but it's what God says. Truth, I've always said this, truth is not what you think, it's not what you feel, it's not what you want it to be. Truth is what God says. And God says he created us male and female. There are not all these 70 different genders and all these different pronouns. There's male, he, him, there's female, she, her. So God bless you, Julie, for calling in. We have Tony on the line from Louisiana. Tony, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Oh, good morning. I love listening to you. Thank you so much all of your insight.
Thank you.
I would like to say that I was reared a Christian, and I firmly believe in God's plan. I cannot go down the rabbit hole of Alice in Wonderland and then start calling her, him, her. And I don't want to see a man in my bathroom when I go to the bathroom.
Right.
I do believe that we as Christian people have a duty to tell the truth. But we must not make fun of these people. We have to stand firm because this is a very big spiritual battle.
Yes.
The sex hormones are very, very powerful. Sex, the sex drive and hunger are two of the strongest forces in the human body. And the enemy starts to try to usurp those, that sexual drive in adolescence. So we as parents do have a duty to talk to our children about how to contain that beast of the sex drive, because the hormones are powerful, and a lot of children don't know how to handle them. And I think we as parents are failing to openly talk to our children and share some of our own experiences about how we got into certain situations. So I think that, you know, this whole drama of I don't call it a movement. I call it a spiritual battle because that's exactly what it is. And so just to, clarify what I'm saying, we as the Christian community must stand in love and try to ask God to give us patience and love to deal with these people and realize that we are dealing with the spirit behind these people. And to stand firm in our own convictions.
Yeah,
I will not call you her.
Yeah, I totally agree. That is exactly right. You speak the truth in love. So everything we're doing, we're not trying to trash people. We care about people. We don't want to see them go down the road that's going to destroy their lives. As Chloe Cole, the woman, the young girl, I think she was 13 when the doctors told her, hey, you know, this will help you. You transition from a woman to a man. She had surgery. She took all these hormones. Now she's suing. She said, I was lied to. And if anyone ought to know the truth when it comes to biology, it should be a medical doctor. To say that they don't understand the truth, I mean, that's just a lie. They're lying to themselves, and they're destroying people in the process. That is anything but love. That real love and care for an individual doesn't lie to them and doesn't use them as guinea pigs. I mean, the doctors that do that, they're on par with the butchers at Auschwitz who were performing brutal experiments on the Jews. It's just awful. It's unthinkable. And all that needs to be shut down. So thanks for calling in, Tony. Good word. We have Ron on the line from, where is Ron from? From MI. I've gone blank on that.
Michigan.
Yeah, there we go. I wanted to say another place, but that's not it. Okay, Ron, yeah. Go ahead.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff. Thanks for taking my call. Just before the break, you were spot on. It is an impossibility to change someone's natural, God-created sex. You can do all of the sex surgeries, cut off all of the body parts that you want to. You can start all of the hormonal treatments or testosterone treatments. What you're going to end up with is masculinized women or feminized men.
Yes.
But it is an impossibility to change. That's just, as we've heard so often, if you follow the science, and that's not bigotry, it's biology.
Right.
It is impossible to change what God created. And if I may, Pastor Jeff, I believe you've had him on as a guest before, and that would be Frank Turek. He has an excellent book out called Correct, Not Politically Correct. And one of my favorite when it comes to transgenderism is when the women go to a gender reveal party, they don't get to vote. They can't vote. A doctor does not assign sex at birth. He discovers what the sex is,
right,
and then states it. So, and this goes along with, I've heard you say it before, truth and love go hand in hand. They go together.
Right.
It is not loving to celebrate lung cancer or COPD. It's not loving to glorify alcoholism. And it's not loving to just accept that this is love when someone is that confused.
Right.
Thanks.
That's exactly right. Good word, Ron. And God bless you, brother. Thanks for calling in today. It's been a while since I've heard from you, so it's good to hear your voice. But good word for sure. We have Chelsea on the line from Texas. Chelsea, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, Pastor. Thank you so much. I'm just praying that the Lord continues to bless you and use you to minister to your listeners.
Thank you.
I'm a single mom. I have a 14-year-old in public school and I homeschool my 13-year-old with special needs. But I'm asking, how can I talk biblically with that 14-year-old about this confusion that is spreading throughout society on these gender-related topics? I tell him, love the person, hate the sin.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, you know, I'm a single mom. We just moved to our new area, and there are no men in his life right now. Mm. So I'm asking, how can I speak to him on his level as his mom biblically about this topic to keep him protected in the environment he's in?
Yeah, that's a good question, Chelsea. I do think it's important that in your new location that you find a good church home, a solid church home, and that he has some male role models that he can look up to and guys that would maybe take him under their wing and let him know, hey, this is what it means to be a man. Because one of the things that I learned from a friend of mine that has the movie The Father Effect, he talks about losing his dad when he was 12, and he said, you know, my mom was great, but she's a woman. She can't be dad because she's mom, and just like dad can't be mom. And so so he needs that. He needs that male role model in his life. And I would talk about some of the things we talked about today. I would just let him know, hey, we have a real enemy out there, and the devil, he wants to steal and kill and destroy, and he's a deceiver, he's a liar and the father of lies, and he's lying, and our culture has bought in on the lie, and this is what's going to happen to people that go down that road, whether it's sexual immorality, whether it's homosexuality, and then this transgenderism train that is just destroying lives. So I would just point out, you always combat the lies with the truth. So I would point out the truth of Scripture to him and say, you know, the Bible is our true north. And you know, when you get off true north, that's when you start to get off your course and you deviate. You know, it's the airline pilots have the 1 in 60 rule. And the one that means if you're 1 degree off for every 60 miles you travel, you're going to be a mile off course. And so that's the difference between taking off in New York and landing at LAX or landing in the Pacific Ocean. And so it makes a difference. And so I would just encourage him that way and keep feeding him the truth. That's how we combat the lies. But I appreciate your call, and I appreciate you listening to the program. Brian, I'm sorry we ran out of time. We didn't get to you. You can always reach me, Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org, Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org, or you can follow me and connect on X, which used to be Twitter, at Jeff Shreve, JeffShreve. We'll go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And know this, that God will use you as his witness as we stand up and speak the truth in love. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.